This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, here we got it all in one. Okay. Davashu marachik as min ha'adam ha'kdusha. By the way, if this time works better, I could do this time also usually.
Oh, yeah?
8:30. I come home from yeshiva, let's say, 1-ish till 2:30. Till 2:40, so I can definitely do 1:30 till 2:15 if it works better for you.
It's actually always a bit better. It's quite late that time.
I right. Mm-hmm. Found it. So that's not a problem. Thursday that time is okay for me. That's so
that, 1:30 would be 8:30 past.
Like this time.
Correct.
So if we want to, we can, you know, we move it to
what
here.
What about Mondays? You like Mondays better than Thursdays?
Oh, I can do any day.
Any day doesn't make it. That's
both are good for me.
Both are good for you. Okay.
Okay. I mean, Thursday sort of bookends it, but whatever you want, I have no problem.
Okay. Okay. So Thursday. I guess it'll be next Thursday.
Right. It'll be 1:30, Mitz Shem.
1:30 Eastern time.
Eastern Center, yes.
8:30.
8:30
getting up first. I could do it, but it's okay. Davar shemarachik adam min haKedusha, min adam Kedusha, kasher ubaloi isha, she'oz einish min haChet. So this sounds quite obvious. It's brought down halacha, you bring the Gemara and so on. But there's a knach to the eitz, kedaka v'kodesh. You know, the pashta is, well, a person has a taiva, he has a yitzhara, he needs, if he can do it beheta, he's not going to do it b'issa. But there's a lot, there's more to it. Mashalom chazal perikam in ketushin, mishtabach le rev chisla rev huna bid rev hamnuna, the adam gadol hu. So rev chisla is a rave about rev huna that he was a adam gadol. Amalei kishayava liyadcha haviyu liyadi. I'd like to meet him. He saw he wasn't wearing a talis over his head. This is the makar for why the minig Ashkenaz, the minig of Ashkenaz not to wear a talis when you're not married, because the priestess sudra is something that's miyuchad for somebody married. Only I tell the priestess sudra, I'm like, look at Sivna. Vajuna lapim, and he turns us away from him. Omle chazid le chazid lapoy adinisvis. I don't want to meet you till you don't get married.
So what's the connection of priestess sudra with it? It's not like a stam.
Right, but I don't know. I don't know. There's no real. It's not given ever in halacha the reason for it. I mean, this gemara is the marker for it. Why the minig was, I don't know. By a woman, the reason why she doesn't have to cover her hair till she's married is because since it's the derech for psulus to go with the hair. It's not considered a davish of Erevah. I don't know by a man what the part is. I have no idea. I mean, I've never found a mocker. Rav Huna tamei d'ama ben chof shana v'loi nasi isha kol yom av b'aveira. Yom av b'aveira is like that, chayim v'hur aveira. So even though he doesn't, not that he has shown that does aveiras all the time, but he's hur aveira. Amar Rav v'chein tonu v'shmur ad chof shana yesha kodesh brochu mitzap al odam mosa yisa isha. Kim she igia chof v'loi nasa. So 20 is a cutoff date. This is not just a maimer musger. It's one of those. The reason why we allow ourselves to wait longer than that. And so Gemara goes to 24, but whatever. The truth is, just so I mean, the halakha is the people push bench banasrei lechopa. But the real question is, well, why bench banasrei? You chayev from your bar mitzvah, and all mitzvahs, and lechur this mitzvah as well. So most people could do beer when they're 13 or 14. So why not be mechayev them in getting married?
What's the mitzvah though?
Well,
what the mitzvah is?
The mitzvah, the technical mitzvah is pruvu, but it's like the ketuchupa v'ketushin. It's clear that the Torah wanted you not just to have kids born out of a woman. They wanted a family. They wanted to get married. And if you're not mature enough to get married, if you're not ready to get married, then there's not going to be a marriage. I mean, because they're also, even in Shemon Asrei, physically a child is mature 13, 14, and there were many Tkufis guys who got married 15, 16. But Chazal were aimed at Shemon Asrei as a certain maturity, and that's why, just like the other ages.
Doesn't mean physical? It's not a
no.
Physical?
Physically, you can give birth probably 13, 14, 15. I mean, there's Zera, there's Kishri. It means because they're not ready to be married. That's why I assume. It's just like it says Ben Chamesh Asrei, Le Gemara. He's chayiv in Talmud Torah when he's 13. But he's not ready to learn Gemara until he's 15. So, it's a question of being ready in terms of being ready to have a family. And that's why if you feel somebody's immature and he's got issues and whatever it is, there's good reason to push it off. Some people go very firm with that and they keep pushing younger age. Part of it is also being able to hold on to a family. So not just to have kids. So now he gives an explanation. Why until 20? And this is his knech. Ki adam kolzman shekamosoy hoylich v'gadol dehainu at chof shana ki min chof shana v'elech ein gadol oid v'kolzman shegadol ein yitzah gadol kol kach etzloi ki moisrei hamozn boyim ala gidol gadol gufoy lefikach ein shechazer lektanim b'nei she'ein ka moisrei tevaklau. Let's talk about it a little bit. Let's understand a little bit the nekuda here. People who are starving, like in concentration camps, lose their ability to have a kishui, zera, until they're eating again, and so on, because the body acts very, very smart, and having children is sort of an excess. It's a surplus. It's like first take care of yourself, and then let's see what about the kid. So the mahalach is so long as your energies are taken up inside, they don't go outside. I think also, so physically, as long as a person is still an age when he's in personal growth mode, the body is not interested in pressing for him to go out, to marry, to have children. It's still, once he peaks, that's the point when now that energy is going to go outwards. It's true physically. It's also true, I think, emotionally, intellectually. In other words, you know, this is one of the things that I think people also make a mistake in terms of guiding people in learning. So let's take Parnassa out of the equation. Almost no one in the world can sit and learn forever in a very productive way, unless there's a tkufa that he feels he's growing and learning, there's a tkufa that he feels he is sort of developing, and so he's not concerned about going outwards, about the futsa menasecha chutsa, because it's all inward. And then when there's a sense that that's basically, you know, reached a certain cutoff point, he's doing well, but there's no real, then he starts becoming antsy to be mashpia outwards. And if a person doesn't have the ability, so some people can teach, some people write svarim, some people answer shayla. There are different avenues, but the word is, and I tell a lot of times to, you know, young life when they're planning life, the fact that you really like to learn now is great. It's very rarely at the age of 30 you're going to have that same drive, because what happens is at some point the body senses plateau, and then that energy wants to go outwards. It wants to do something, and that's why it's important. In my mind, I think that emotional pressure is probably the most significant piece of the puzzle. That person needs to needs to do something in learning that he feels yafutza menasecha chutza, that he's teaching, explaining, writing. I told somebody if there'll be a line of people asking you shailas and beis medrash always, that's fine. So you feel that you're doing. But if you're just another person sitting and learning, you know. So you have the chaznish, but the truth is the chaznish wrote all the time. Chaznish is
really wrote for himself. It was
right. But that itself was to creating. There was a certain Afatz Mayanus. You're right. It didn't have to be other people, but he was writing. To him, the Chaznish was a certain creation. He was writing up the sugyas the way they got to be. There was a certain productivity to it. Very rare do you have someone that's. There was a fascinating story. It's in Panovich, they when Reb David, when Rav Shach started turning, I don't know, it's late 80s, early 90s, I don't know, that Kufa, all the, so him and Reb David were both pretty much the same age, kind of, and Rav Shach wanted to give over the hand over the torch to the next generation, and he told Reb David, we both need to step down in terms of saying shir, and bring in young Magid Shurim and let them do it. We need to bring in, and Reb David was very upset, and he said, it will kill me if you insist on killing me, fine, but it'll kill me. And I think his Rav Shach had other outlets, you know, that Reb David didn't have. Just that was Rav Shach's nature. He was a very energetic person. He did have other things, and Reb David said, this is my life. He said, you know, my shir is my life, and without that, I feel I'd dry up and shrivel up. So he says, so his knach is that the reason is, so long as a person's energies are focused inwards, his yetzer is not so big. And the truth is, there's a lashon in the Sfarim when they speak about the hair on a person's head. It's called a yisus hamoach, mosus hamoach. It's called the excess of the moach. What it refers to is usually a person's, you know, a person's chup, waving his hair, is kind of an act of haughtiness. It's sort of an act of arrogance. You know, a person has a big chup of hair going back, or he's waving it, or whatever it is. And
it's about the
Beluria.
Beluria.
Yeah. So yeah, the, what the Chassidus Sfarim was right about the terrible Belurias. But the there's a certain, and the way the Sfarim saw it was, it's ki'ilu, when a person's mind is occupied in doing something. So when you're working through a problem, your mind's occupied with the problem. When you finish and you sit back, now you can say, oh, I'm great, I'm fantastic. There's a certain element, and it's true in any case, when a person is working hard and directing his energies to accomplishing something, a person is building a business. So in the mode of having to build it up, the person usually doesn't display. When the person's energy has been spent in, let's say, building the business mode, so then he's making other people's life miserable most of the time. He's wasting it because the energy is there. It needs an outlet. It's not being used to run the machine anymore. So it looks for what to do. And that's where the problems start. And the same thing is true with the physical and sexual energy. As long as a person's body is within the growth mode, it's using up its energy in the growth process, and it's less yetzahara. When a person's sort of peaked, that's when he gets yetzahara. So what he said was, what's the difference if I wait till 16 and a half, 17? He said, since the 18th year marks this man of Tchilas Man Nesuin, it means there's already some Yetzirah. And therefore, he didn't want to be in a matzav where there's even like a half a minute for the Yetzirah to be sholeit. V'inesivna ben Yudalit, sharei ben Yudgimli yom echad hu ish, v'at klois eshan eshova Yetzirah klal, az amarti lesotin gira beinecha, shei shel ta Yetzirah shei moishal ba Yetzirah ma'olam, al kasha sholei Yetzirah ba'adam, kosher salkoi. Kedisavereka chalil. So this is obvious. This is, you know, when a person, not to get addicted and not to fall into a habit is difficult sometimes, but to get out of it is much more difficult. So once the Yetzirah is kind of shvis in a person, it's very hard to be shalom on it.
You're telling it's the same, it's the koich of addiction? It's the same.
What?
It's the same koich of
addiction. Anything, a person gets used to something, that then, you know, it's something harmless like drinking coffee. It's, you know, it's not difficult not to start it, but when you get used to it, it gets, so he says, Shnema hoy moishka oven bechev leishav ukavois hagola chato which is boi mukhoi moi. Lefikach yitzahara shekvar nishtarish kosher lahasim. So he says yitzahara becomes thicker. It says it's first like a chuchel chevel ubesayv dime kavois is hagola. I guess I can, if I can add just a bit of hezba, I don't know if he means it, but it's a very interesting mashal. He says it starts off being as thin as a thread, and at the end it's as thick as a cord. So it's an apt description of the matzav. That's not, you know, that's obvious, but I think there's more than that. Let's give an example. Let's say. Let's take kids. I don't know what the Yitzharas today are. There are plenty of them. When we were growing up, smoking was the Yitzhar. We weren't supposed to smoke when we were kids, and all the kids smoked. The joke used to be, why don't you make shechiyon on the first cigarette that you smoke? And the answer was because it's in the bathroom. That was the joke as kids. So my first Yitzhar to smoke a cigarette is always outside me. Everyone else does it. People say it's fun. You'd be like a big guy and this and that and so on and so forth. So the Yitzhara is only as big as itself. When it gets into you and you start smoking, then you want it. There's a part of yourself, more and more of yourself, like Rahman's like a cancer, becomes intertwined with it. And now it's the Yitzhara strengthens because a lot of you becomes converted to Yitzhara. And it's, the same thing is true in even this Yitzhara, in these Yitzharas and so on. You know, once a person gets ruggled to an avera, then that avera becomes part of himself. It's sort of, it's now me. It's not tempting on the outside. There are things that are tempting on the outside. There are things that this is me and I get absorbed in it, or it becomes part of me. And that becomes a very tricky part to be able to separate it out of yourself. It looks great to do, but you say, I want to do it. And there's a big difference those two statements. When something says this looks real, like real fun, I can separate it away. But when this is what I want to do, and Bechadesi, you go for it differently, that's very, very different.
This is the pshat Eliezer ben Duda, he died because
that's
all he was. He couldn't separate his life
force from. Rav Huttner said his koyach haratzon came intertwined. Someone told me an extraordinary story. I don't know if you know Gail. What's his first name? Chaim Gail. Chaim Gail is a Baal Tshuva from way back when. He must have begun to come from the 70s. My age, but he went to Eishat Torah, and then he went to the Mir, and he's been learning the Mir ever since. Yosef Analogy is still there, and so on. So he was a very big fellow, very, very intelligent fellow. And he tried out a lot of things before he came to yeshiva. In those days that everybody tried things. So he worked at a greyhound race, that's like dog races, and he worked as a surgeon's assistant. Then he worked in a mental hospital. Like any place that was different, he sought out to see what it's like. And he was a kind of very... So he told me he worked in a mental hospital, and there were three sections. There were acute cases, like people who had a crisis. There was another section, I remember what it was. And the third section were people that basically were there for life and they were going to stay there, whatever. And there was one person who was dying of syphilis. They had caught it late or whatever, they hadn't treated it, and he basically was dying. And syphilis just destroys the brain in its last stages. So he told me this person had basically lost all control over functions and so on. He basically wasn't fine. He said the only chiyus he had left was whenever a nurse would come by the bed, he would try to grab her. That was like his only reflex that was still intact. Like the core of his neshama, the last piece. Lahavdol, there was a Yid, Rabbi Yosef Rubin. He was a big Gavit Tzlaki in Shlaim. He was actually a big Tam Tchachem, and he also was a big Gavit Tzlaki. Oh, Yosef Chai was his thing. I mean, he didn't call Yosef Chai then. And he was a relatively young man. I think it was late 50s. He had a massive stroke. He lay in the hospital for a few weeks and died. And he was totally unresponsive. But they told him, Rabbi Yosef, it's before Pesach. What's going to be with all the Aniyim? He started crying. There were tears in his eyes. So you know, sometimes when you strip away all the outer layers, like you're left with that korchius, and you know, ashrei the person that the korchius is, you know, nias. Rav Chaim Shalevitz, you know, when he was dying, I mean, he had cancer of sorts, and his last few weeks he wasn't coherent, he wasn't really conscious most of the time, but Rav Shach came to visit him, and Rav Shach, you know, there was no way to communicate. So Rav Shach patched around for a few minutes, and then he said, Chaim, you're going to get better. So Rav Chaim said, prove your point. Breng der Reihe. Like, that was like, you know, that was his, you know, that remained with him. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Halacha noisei adam isha v'chakech yilma Torah. So this is a famous machlokes. Should a person get married and then learn Torah? Rav says, v'chaim etzavar yasek v'torah. By the way, this was the reason why people in Europe got married very late in yeshivas. A, there was no kolol, there was no attempts of learning and getting supported, very, very limited. And secondly, the other reason was no girls wanted to marry yeshiva bachim in the later tchufas. It was a terrible matzav. But I'll go put it, the Gemara says, machlaikas, Rav says, v'chaim etzavar yasek v'torah. How could a person, is busy with his work, he's not going to be a yasek v'torah? Lo plige holon holohu. The difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. So the Pashat Pshat in Gemara, again, the Maral has a different Pshat in Gemara. The Maral has a few Sfarim in Halacha that he wrote on Shabbos and Erevin, but Metzia we have, Gurari on all these Sfarim. They've put out some of them. He's very original. He goes through the Gemara, he asks Kashas, some of the Kashas are places as Kashas, disregards it and says all to Rutsim. It's like his Gemara. He's very, very original. He does not. So here also, he learns a different pshat. The pasha pshat over there that they learn is, Rashi learns, there's a difference if there's parnasa or not, if it was possible or not. So if you can have parnasa, then being married is certainly much better. If you can't have parnasa, then you have no choice to learn before. He learns differently. Pirish. Beretz Yisrael, schus Eretz Yisrael goyrim. Olefikach rechayim b'tzavar v'yasek b'torah. Lekach yasek b'torah v'chakach yiseisha.
It means Rechaim throws a kasha.
Right. Avuchutzah, it's a mission, he's saying in Eretz Yisrael, he's saying like this. In both places, the reality is the same. That if you have Torah and Parnassah, you don't have time to learn. So the Eitzah, so in Eretz Yisrael, where Eretz Yisrael, the Schus is Megan, the Kedush is Megan, from the problem of Yehurim and so on, then you can delay getting married, and you're able to learn. So Rechaim, you have two choices. You have two issues. Rechaim Betzavara is not good for learning, and not being Bekdusha is not good for learning. So in Eretz Yisrael, where you're less not Bekdusha because the Schus Yisrael is Megan, then that's a good idea over there to sit around and to learn later. To get married later. Va'oid. So I think what he means to distinguish is the difference between one is just Eretz Yisrael, the Schus Eretz Yisrael is Megan in itself. The second one, he says, is the Torah of Eretz Yisrael is Megan, more the person. Learning Torah itself, I would assume that this morale is going together with the Rambam and the Gemara and the Braisa, that if a person is mekabel ol Torah, mavir memenu yehurei arayis and yehurei this, like the Rambam says, that yehurei arayis are only leiv panim in a chachma. So the intensity of Torah Eretz Yisrael allows you to deal better with your issues as also. So I think those are the two shades. In other words, so his pshat is quite different. That the pshat is, in both cases, parnasa was an issue. In both cases, kedusha was an issue. In Eretz Yisrael, kedusha was less of an issue because Eretz Yisrael was Megan, or Torah Eretz Yisrael. I think that's more or less the way he's describing it. I just want to go back a second to what we said before. It's very interesting. The Torah, when the Torah speaks about getting married, the word kibush it says darker shall ishlich boish, vein darker shall ishlich boish. In other words, the koyach of a person, the restlessness, kibush means that when it says darker shall ishlich boish, vein darker shall ishlich boish, is it's not only that he's stronger and he's better at fighting, he can run quicker and longer, whatever it is. It's the desire to move, to expand, is a man's tchuna. A woman's tchuna is to consolidate. Chazals give the mashal when they say a man plows the field, but can he eat wheat? He grows pishtan, but you can't wear flax. The woman makes the things out of them. So the koyach of hispashtus is in the man's koyach. And therefore, just like, let's take another example. The zera of a man contains hundreds of millions of sperm. The count has no limit to it, really, in a certain sense. A woman is the one, it's the woman who limits it to one. The koyach of zachar, zachar is bigmatia bracha, whereas a woman is in the keva, has in itself an element of klala, like it says, if you nekev shem Hashem, the being mekalal is nekev shem Hashem. The nekeva, the klala we're talking about is the limiting of something to what it is. Bracha means there's a ribu without gvul. Aura means it's barren. It's only what you have, and that's it. The seed you put in is what you get out. The koyach, it's a positive koyach because a man's unlimited seed is worthless. You can't grow 100 million children. It's counterproductive. He's the proactive partner, so he can create the wheat, but the wheat itself needs to be filtered. It needs to be processed. So from this massive wheat, you get this little bread. But that's really what's useful. So the koyach of zachrus, the Torah calls it kivshua, darkashish lichbosh, the koyach of the man is to be koyvish, and that's why his etzahara is so strong. It strains at the boundaries. Because that's what it's supposed to do. So it's really, in the big picture, the koyach of the zachar is a koyach to push, to go beyond. The koyach in the cave is to rein in. And you see it even by the Avos. If you take a look, it was the men who seemed to do most of the kirov work, and it was the women who did the filtering work. Sarah told Avram to get Yishmael out of the house. Rivka was the one who maneuvered it so that Yaakov be left with it. It was Yaakov asked Rachel and Leah, you know, I'm having these issues with Laban, what should I do? And they said, you need to move on. You know, we need to get away from it. It's part of that koyach of being sort of consolidating force, a limiting force. Whereas the zachar is, so Skolzman, the hispashtus is inside, and the person is focus inwards. Reb Chaim Shalevitz had a very fascinating, his son-in-law, Reb Yisrael Meir Weiss, younger son-in-law, was offered, I might have told you the story once, was offered a job in a yeshiva to work for a certain Rosh Yeshiva. This Rosh Yeshiva was a first cousin of the world-renowned Rosh Yeshiva. And Reb Yisrael Meir Weiss went to ask his father, Reb Chaim, should he take the job or not? So Reb Chaim told him, you know, I mentioned the fact that, you know, he's a cousin, first cousin to this prestigious person. So Chaim told him, the tchunas hanefesh of that family, the defining characteristics is that they're nudniks. He said, the Adam Gadol one focused his nudnik on himself, and he was able to draw out of himself gadlus. His cousins, I'm not sure about. He said, you know, I think he was rather sure. It actually happened to a cousin of mine went to work for those people, and I think 2 years later he realized it, and he made his own yeshiva. But the point was, those energies, when they're focused inwards, you know, so that they're very, they're productive. But if a person doesn't have it, the person gets restless. You know, it's one of those. When a person has kohos and doesn't have a way to use them, they become destructive. That's the end of it. That's the. It's true also by a mother, let's say. A mother with children, the kohos, you know, she's 24/7 busy with them. When they don't need her 24/7, so many times she still persists and becomes very difficult because, you know, it's taking kohos that should have been going outwards and they're not, you know, they're not there anymore. That shouldn't be there anymore. I think we'll hold it here. We'll have to start there. It's just a longer piece. Very nice. Okay, thank you very much for coming out from Pell. It saved me. It's been a long, long week. I must have spoken 15, 16 places. It just gets kind of, it gets kind of very tedious. You know, so it's, you've got all these places.